This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are glad you are with us. Part of our Haystack Help home team is Enchanted Kitchens. But before we introduce our guest today, just want to say happy Veterans Day to all our veterans out there. Thank you so much for your service. And, you know, we look at the individual veteran, but it also includes many family members for each of those veterans. So we just want to say thank you so much for fighting for our freedoms that we have. And they're getting more interesting every day, those freedoms. Neil, how are you, sir?
Good. I'll pile on there, too. Yeah. Happy Veterans Day. And all them guys out there that have done good service, we appreciate them.
Absolutely. You know, men and women out there have really paid the price. And we thank you. And also joining us today, lead kitchen and bath designer herself, Kami Martelli.
Hi, thank you. Thank you. And I'd also like to say happy Veterans Day and happy Veterans Day to my dad, who was a vet.
Wow, that's awesome.
Or is a vet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Well, boy, so many things we could talk about, but interesting times. But you know what? There's no better time than to think about a new kitchen. We'll just think about something happy, and that's a new kitchen, Neil.
Yeah, it's a good time to nest. You know, yes. It's a good time to make sure the home front is working for you.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. Well, once again, I hope you'll get by their Experience Center. It's at 3535 South Platte River Drive there in Englewood, and their number is 720-376-7588. You can check out their website at enchantedkitchens.net. All right, let's start off with, and again, this is always just a little roundtable discussion, Neil. I'll let you start off, though, just kind of trends, what you guys are seeing now for folks looking at redoing their kitchens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a while back, Scott, you asked how we keep up on trends.
Right.
It takes just diligence and making sure that you know what's hitting the ground out there. I attended an online trends seminar just a couple days ago. So you work with associations that you're involved with. That was put on by the NKBA, National Kitchen and Bath Association. So they've got a good handle on trends that are coming up. Mm-hmm. And they focused on the classic designs, classic colors, grays and whites. Those will be always popular because they're just so versatile. That's why you get stainless appliances, because of that gray tones that you can build on. But some of the trends that we're seeing in colors are blues are still real popular and will be for a while. Okay. And greens are coming on pretty strong, too.
Really?
So these colors kind of trend in and out, but you look at which ones are going to be classics. Mm-hmm. So you have to sometimes be careful if you're doing something real exotic. But you can always accommodate even those based on how you're integrating them into the space.
Right.
Sometimes those real exotic colors you use on just like, for instance, an island surround that's easily swapped out should the color trends change. But the popular colors, gray and white, will be always popular.
Right. And Kami, as the designer on this, when do colors even come up? Is that way down the road or... Is
I
that
feel
early
like it
on?
Comes up pretty early on. Okay. You kind of get a feel for their palette and their overall kind of design aesthetic, and get a feel for, like, do they want the kitchen all in one color? Do they want an island in a different color? Or we've been doing some color blocking where it might be, let's say, the refrigerator and the tall surround areas are going to be an accent color, and then everything else is going to be white. So it's a good idea to get that figured out early on, because the design can kind of revolve around your color scheme.
Right. And you mentioned the stainless appliances. We've really seen those skyrocket, haven't we, over the years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's they're just so versatile. Yeah. Some of the real colored appliances now will work for a vintage style. You get a mustard yellow or a blue or a green. But the stainless are just classics. Mm-hmm. They're always a home run.
Yeah.
You can get the graphite colors now, too, that are a little bit darker, still stainless, still all have the advantages of the tactile advantages of the steel. But, yeah, they've blown up, yeah.
Sure. Now, and I don't know if I've ever asked you this question. Is the appliances part of your package, or is it you build a kitchen and we go buy our own appliances and stick it in there?
Kami?
Well, we definitely have conversations with our customers about the appliances, and then we partner with different vendors for appliances. But we'll talk to the customer a lot, like, are you looking for a 36-inch range? Do you want a pro 48-inch range? Because that affects the design as well. And we'll talk about maybe, like, pros and cons. Is this range way too big for your space because you have a small kitchen, and now you're left with just three cabinets? So it's, it kind of goes hand in hand. And then we do, you know, lead them to partners who we partner with for appliances.
Because I'd want you to do it all. I don't want to go do that, you know? There's so many different things out there, and if you know what fits and you know what looks best, man, I want you to do it.
Yeah, definitely. We'll kind of help. You know, I just had this conversation with a customer yesterday. With, you know, is a 30-inch cooktop going to look too small a scale for her kitchen, or should she bump up to a 36? So we're really good at being in the space and eyeing, this is the size that makes sense in the space, or this is going to be overpowering or look too tiny in your space.
Once again, it's Enchanted Kitchens, and hope you'll get by. As I said, you know, a lot of times we get some extra days off here as the holidays are approaching. I hope you'll go by their experience center and just take a look at the quality and the reason why we're very excited to have them part of our Haystack Help home team. And it's at 3535 South Platte River Drive, and they're in Englewood, and I promise you, it will be a very eye-opening trip of what your kitchen could look like. And I'm looking forward to having them out at our house here pretty quickly. We did have an appointment scheduled several weeks back, but had to change that. So we're looking forward to having you guys out to our house as well. So let's talk about when people first walk in a kitchen. I mean, what's usually the first thing that draws people's eye, Kami?
Oh, wow. So if they walk in a kitchen that they really like, I feel like it's a combination of things. You know, a lot of it might be the color palette, the overall feel of the kitchen, just kind of the design that they're drawn to. You know, is it a modern farmhouse? Is it a contemporary kitchen? I feel like there's so many factors that can kind of pull you in. Maybe it's an eye-catching backsplash or like a showpiece wood hood. You know, as we walk through the kitchen design process with customers, usually we talk about a couple of different focal points. Right. And that usually is, I think, what draws anybody.
Right. Now, as far as cabinets, man, we talk a lot about that, and you guys offer, you know, several different lines. And by the way, we'll mention our special real quick here, Neil, that you guys have been kind enough to give us 10% off the Europa brand cabinets. So tell our listeners a little bit of what that entails.
Yeah, so when you start talking about cabinets, you look at composition, you know, the materials in it, as well as the construction methods. So you walk the customers through those. This particular brand, Europa, is a frameless brand cabinet, which I personally like. It's been hitting our industry hard since World War II. It's just full access. There's no face frames to you know, pinch down the opening spaces. Great product line, and good color selections, good door styles. So most brands are going to have a good variety of door styles. You really have to look at how the specific customer needs are as to whether you go to framed or frameless. So those are just catchwords in our industry, but it still starts with making sure you got a good product line. We really like that Europa brand.
You know, I know we're in this do-it-yourself society, and everybody likes their DIY books for about everything, but this is one thing I would not want to do without someone, you know, like you guys, because, again, you do this day in, day out. We do it maybe once in our life, okay? And you're going to help us think about things that we would never think about. And I can't imagine how many disappointed people are even hearing me right now. They're going, Scott, you're right. We did this 10 years ago on our own, and, man, we spent all this money, and we still don't have the kitchen we wanted. And that's a bummer.
Right, yeah. I mean, we're here to help you through the process, definitely. Just even if you have a really good eye for design, there are some kind of nuts and bolts things that you might not realize if you're a do-it-yourselfer. Like, one thing off the top of my head is an 18-inch wide door is the most visually appealing door. You know, a general homeowner probably wouldn't know that, and they might put in a bunch of 12-inch wide doors because they think it fits the space. So I feel like we'll just kind of help you with that. Work triangle, landing zones, you know, we all know our National Kitchen and Bath guidelines, you know, as far as you don't want your cooktop too close to a piece of wood because it's a fire hazard, you know, so we know, like, that has to stay 9 inches away. Right. We're going to help you troubleshoot all that, make sure you don't have, yeah, you know, something that's not going to look as good in the end, and then, or also something that could be dangerous if you're not familiar with some of the codes.
Right. So does the conversation start out, you know, people walk in, they start looking at this, Neil, does the conversation just kind of start out at budget?
Budgets, it's always about budget.
Right.
So that whether it comes up by the customer in the initial stages or we bring it up, that's very commonly brought up in the front end, because that steers us towards what their product is going to be.
Sure.
You know, going back to the other point that you mentioned about the difficulties of a kitchen design, one thing we can do is also integrate your labor components with you. I mean, our industry has a reputation, deservedly so. I mean, everybody's got horror stories.
Sure.
But with a professional, you're going to be able to interact with the industry better.
Right.
So that's one thing that we do. But yeah, the numbers come up pretty quickly, and if they don't, we'll bring them up because it's a good indicator of where the customer is at in terms of, you know, whether they're realistic in a kitchen cost or not, and gives us a starting point.
Right. Now, a lot of times when you're looking at cabinets, you also think about flooring. So sometimes the flooring, does that play a big role in what the cabinets may look like?
Yeah, it definitely can. I just had a conversation yesterday with a customer about that as she was selecting her floors. So you do want to make sure that your cabinet colors are going to correspond nicely with your floors. You know, she was starting to pick one that I felt was a little too red, and then when I pointed that out next to it, she's like, "Oh, it does look really red next to this cool gray." So you do want to make sure everything complements each other nicely.
Right. So, Neil, when you get to looking at all the different colors that are available in different things, I guess there's some color for every person, but are there certain colors you say that, you know, because what I want is just something kind of bright look. You know, you hate to walk in something that just looks dull, but do you see that where people want their kitchens kind of bright?
Yeah, I feel like that's part of why white has just been going strong for so long. You just can't compete with the fact
that you got all these colors, but then they go with white, right?
It keeps the space bright. But then when I do talk to customers about colors, you know, Neil was mentioning that, you know, blue is holding strong and then green's coming up, which is very true. But I always tell my customers, if it's a color you love, you're probably going to love it forever. Like, I could have anything blue in any shade of my house and I would love it. But I personally might get sick of, like, yellow after a while. But if it's your color, you know, stick to it. We can custom match, or they can pull anything from Benjamin Moore and make a custom color. So if you want a hot pink island, we could do that for you. But I haven't gotten that request yet. But I think that it's good to watch the trends. But then also, you know, if you want a bright something pop in your kitchen, just go for it if it feels true to your personal taste.
I need a good camo color. Good camo cabinets.
You know, I was going to talk about architecture I mean, we learned from architects that you bring the outdoors in, right?
Sure.
So if you're up in the mountains and you want to bring in some of those greens from the trees or the reds from the rocks or those natural leaves, all those things play into the color palette. And so you look at architecture, you look at surroundings. In your case, yeah, we could do something with your camo color. Yeah.
Good deal. It's Enchanted Kitchens. Their number, 303-376-7588. And once again, the website is enchantedkitchens.net. And Kami, what's probably your most enjoyable part of this whole deal as a designer? I mean, it's got to be just so fulfilling for you when you always reflect back at the end of a job, when you reflect back to that initial meeting and maybe what they were talking about, and then when you step back and they look at it the first time. I mean, that's got to be super fulfilling for you.
Right. The final product and hearing how the customers are enjoying the space once they're in it, it's definitely fulfilling. I also really like the drafting and computer CAD element of it. I feel like it's like putting a puzzle piece together. Some of these kitchens are trying to figure out all their components and, you know, coming up with a layout that makes sense for them. So I feel like there are a couple different fun parts. And of course, you know, working with customers, we get to meet a lot of great people.
Right. Let's talk about some of the tools that you use a little bit. The other day I walked in to see Neil, and Catherine was working with one of our employees here. So we stepped over and she was on a computer screen showing a bunch of stuff. So this isn't something where you got a piece of paper and you're drawing out where your table goes here and your cabinets go. I mean, you've got some pretty cool stuff to work with.
Right. It's specific to the kitchen and bath industry, our 2020 program, but it's very similar to a CAD program. So we'll do dimensioned floor plans. We can pull up elevations. And then one thing that I think really helps my customers is I like to do a 3D color rendering. I feel like half the time my customers will think, I want this color. And then when I show it to them in 3D color rendering, they're like, oh, that's not exactly how I was thinking it would look. So let's do a little bit less of this, a little bit more of that. And right there, that just saves you from making, you know, like potentially a $5,000 mistake if all of a sudden you pick the wrong color and you want to tear your island out or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, it's really, really handy software.
Because I think we've all looked at that little swatch of material or paint and you've seen a little bitty sample and you're like, oh, that's perfect. And then when painters have painted it, and we've got a painter we work with. They're like, whoa, that is nothing what I wanted it to look like. Right, Neil?
Yeah, and also the space planning. I mean, the advantage of being high-tech or having those tools is that you can do a virtual tour of a space, whether you can visualize that or not. Kami and I, we're trained professionals. We've been doing this a long time, but that's an acquired skill. So if your customer can visualize the space, you just get out the computer and you do a virtual tour through the space, and that gives them a better sense in what their money's getting.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I think many times we think of a family room as where the TV is and the sofa, but when you look at today, how the kitchen is used, I mean, kids do their homework in there, you know, folks are working from home, maybe they put their laptop on the kitchen table or whatever. So, I mean, this is the most important room in the house probably now, Neil.
Yeah, and how it relates to the adjacent rooms. You're exactly right on that. Theories change. We're always moving towards more open concept floor plans. So it's very common for kitchen remodels to include wall removal just because they want to make those spaces that feel like they're in the same space with their kids. Yeah.
Because a lot of times we probably just look at our kitchens and we think, oh, I don't know what you're going to be able to do. I mean, we've only got this amount of space, and I see the cabinets are already there. I mean, how big a difference is it going to make? But then when you walk in and you see your showroom and different things that you can do, and then once you get one of your designers involved, I mean, man, you're just saying, open up your mind, dream a little bit, and we're going to make it come true for you. Right, Kami?
Right. Yeah, we definitely want to help you visualize it and come up with what's going to work best for your family, for your kitchen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not unfair to ask why the kitchen was put over in this corner.
I know.
I mean, we bring a clean canvas to the space, and we'll ask them, why is it? Would it work better over there? Mm-hmm. That's part of what we do is to get them to envision what their lifestyle could be with the complete reconfiguration.
Because most of us, when you know, if we're in any kind of where they were building homes, they did a lot of them alike, and that's just where they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was convenient for them, and it may not, like I say,
didn't necessarily work.
We haven't really thought about it being designed anywhere different, right?
Mm-hmm. That's why you get a professional involved.
Yeah. And you'll kind of talk about some of your partners, you know, the folks that will actually be coming in and doing the work. I know you guys are very, very picky, and we'll just put it that way, on who you use, because in big long term, they're representing you, right?
Yeah, we do have a list of general contractors that are vetted, and we've used it historically, and have a good communication opened with them, within their skill sets where to bring them to bear. So some customers have a different expectation than another set, so you make sure you're coordinating their personality types or their capabilities with that particular homeowner. Some of them just want a kitchen swap. Mm-hmm. Some of them want wall removal with structural considerations. So you have to have a good set of team players involved. And also with appliances, every place you turn, there's a million details, and all it takes is one to go south, and then you got a problem. So you have to have a good team and know where to bring them to bear.
Right. Now, things are pretty hectic right now, you know, just the way the world is. Plus, you've got the holidays coming, but is now still an okay time where people could call Kami and maybe at least come by your experience center and just start the conversation? And we may not be able to get anything going right now, but at least we can get that kind of initial talk and plan and what they're thinking, right?
Yeah, I feel like we always get a rush at the beginning of the year. So in January, that's when, you know, you and all your neighbors are going to be like, I want to start my remodel. But you could start, if you wanted to truly start at the beginning of the year, you start your planning now, start getting floor plans together now.
And probably get a little extra time with you right now.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Because you've got a little bit of time.
Yeah,
you're busy,
yeah.
But, you know.
And you could start getting on people's calendars, you know, because some of the general contractors are already starting to book into next year.
Sure.
So you don't want to wait until the last minute, and then you're just kind of, you know, stuck with whoever's left or not working on your schedule. You know, it might not be able to start until, like, let's say March or April. So, yeah, definitely start reaching out, getting some plans together, and start the process.
Right. Now, let's talk on the cabinets. You know, hardware can make a lot, but then there's probably a lot of cabinets that have no hardware. I've seen your push button, which is pretty cool. Is there a percentage of cabinets that you say, oh, half the cabinets we do have hardware? Or how does hardware play into all this with cabinets?
I would say the majority still do have hardware, but there is definitely a trend going on right now to, like, if you're into contemporary and very clean, to do a touch latch or an integrated pole. So we have that on display in the showroom as well. Mm-hmm. But they can have an integrated pole just made out of the door or kind of a metal groove pole. So if you just want something really flat, or if you're a person that's like, I want to quit getting stuck on my poles when I walk past them, which is, I feel like I'm just at the right height where that happens to me a lot. So if you're one of those people and you just want to keep it clean, that's definitely an option. I also like it for the master bath, you know, where you're maybe using a lot of corded items. It's nice to have no hardware to get stuck on with, like, your hair dryer or whatnot.
Right. Now, do you guys put in the junk drawer? Every kitchen's got a junk drawer, so I need one that's about 2 feet deep, 4 foot wide, because I'm always throwing stuff in there, Neil.
Those are the bane of our existence, the junk drawers. We want to put a better system in than a bunch of drunk junk drawers.
Absolutely, yeah, because then I got this one drawer, I'll throw stuff in, Victoria's like, that's not where that goes. So, you know, yeah. So we'll have to just make them all have a purpose. And that's really what it's all about, is really making your space more effective for you, isn't it?
Yep, we have organizers for every type of drawer you could possibly want. If you're into to super organization, we can have spice organizers, utensil organizers, knife holders, silverware, so we can keep your junk drawer away.
Right. Sometimes the hardest customers that we work with are engineers because they're so exacting. Yeah. But when you consider every kitchen has one, the kitchen engineer.
No, dude, everybody. Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So we can accommodate all their needs. Yeah. Right.
So when we kind of walk through the process of, you know, we come to your experience center, we sit down, we work with you. Is it usually a couple appointments with you there and then you come to the house? Let's kind of walk through the process a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like each customer is a little different, but we definitely do like to get you into the experience center first, because that's where we like to talk about our product and really get you lined up with what makes the most sense for your kitchen. And we'll do a little bit of, you know, cabinet 101. You know, here's what a furniture board side is versus particle board side. Here's your drawer construction and all of those fun details. And then start kind of planning your color scheme as well. So then when we do get to the point where we're doing an in-home appointment, then we can bring some samples to look at in your interior lighting to make sure they look good in your house and not just in our showroom.
Right. And then if you had to guess, Neil, what would be the time someone would say, how long will I be without my kitchen? I mean, and I realize, you know, shipments can be delayed, and hopefully everybody understands that right now, you know. But, I mean, general guidelines.
As short as possible.
What are we talking about? Okay.
A simple footprint swap, you can get in and out in 3 weeks. That takes a lot of coordination to make that happen. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking at other trades involved, you know, wall removal, electrical, plumbing, you better add at least a couple more. So it's not uncommon to see a six-week schedule if it's involving structural elements. But again, that takes a lot of coordination. So if you don't do it right, then you're out in, as we've heard horror stories, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and that's a bad thing.
Sure.
So, yeah, we don't want you to be without your kitchen any longer than you have to be.
Right. And you know what I like about this, too? This is something that you guys really specialize in. You know, it's not just something you do. I mean, this is what you do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of like, if you want to go to a medical person, we all want that specialist, that this is what they do day in and day out. And same thing, I think, with your house. You know, I don't want somebody that's, you know, just doing all kinds of different things, and they may be good at some of them, but, man, kitchens is what you do.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
So we've been in this a long time. Between Kami and I, you've probably got 60 years of experience in this room. Yeah.
Well, Kami, he's got most of those years of age anyway. Yeah. No, but that is important because, you know, you get to know people. You get to know how to present things because I think what most people will appreciate is the way you guys do business, because just like the lady you said, she's thinking she wants this. You can tactfully say, well, let me show you this. And then all of a sudden, she's like, thank you, because you just saved me from a huge mistake. And had she been doing that on her own, or I dare say with just any general contractor that she may have hired, they don't care. Hey, pick what you want. You pick the colors, you know, and we'll put it up there. Right, Neil?
So I do best when I assume that all those miscellaneous odds and ends are my responsibility. Mm-hmm. If I leave them to the customer, or leave them to the general contractor, they may go undone, which, you know, may or may not cause a problem. I don't want a problem. I'm going to assume that those are all my responsibilities to take care of all those little details, and there's a lot of them. Yeah.
And it all goes back, then, you know, we touch on this, it seems like every show, but I think it's very, very important, you know, just to talk about the value, because you know what? You can redo your kitchen for about any price you want. Mm-hmm. You can pick your price, you know. But to do it were something that you're going to have forever, that you're going to walk in and you think, okay, this is what I dreamed, and now I'm looking at reality. I've got the quality that I want. Because, Neil, there's no worse feeling in the world, and we've all done it, thinking we got a good deal on something, and it wasn't the product, the quality, and the value that we thought.
Penny-wise and pound-foolish.
Yeah, it might have been a good, quote, good deal, all right, we thought, but it really wasn't, because it's not what you wanted.
You know, kitchens are expensive. They just are.
Mm-hmm.
Every place you turn in there, you've got cost drivers that are going to affect it. But if you use the money wisely, put it in this instead of that.
Right.
You know, you have options.
Sure.
And one of the worst options is to pick the least expensive of everything, including the labor component. It's the reality of it. But if you're careful, if you're using a good design professional, good products, you can usually hit a pretty good budget number with combinations.
So several things you need to look at, and we think we've got them all covered with Enchanted Kitchens. Of course, you got the people. You've got industry-leading people here, as Neil said. You've got award-winning designers here with them. They've got terrific products for you. They make the process easy. And I think this sometimes holds people back, Neil, because they just think it's going to be so overwhelming, you know. But when you come in and you kind of break these appointments out and you do these things in stages, just to make sure you got it right, I think that's something everybody can appreciate, Kami.
Yeah, we have an 8-step process that we try to stick to with each customer, and we review that in the first meeting so you can kind of see, like, this is when this stage happens, this is when this step happens. And we do try to make it not overwhelming for the customer, and, you know, we also try to break the appointments, and we don't want to take one mega appointment, and after 4 hours you're exhausted and just pointing at things because you've kind of hit fatigue at decision-making. So we break it up into a couple different appointments. Like, we might not pick hardware on the first appointment. We might wait for that until the second appointment. You come in and re-review all of your colors again, and then we add the hardware component. You know, so we just try to make it easy and hopefully fun for the customers, too, because we all love design and we think it's fun. So we're trying to make it enjoyable for you.
Absolutely. So, again, the process, they make it easy for you. Of course, you will not visit a more unique showroom. And I hate to even use the word showroom. We call it the Experience Center. But you will see what we are talking about, and again, why we're excited to have Enchanted Kitchens on our Haystack Help home team. And then get back to value, and this is where it's at when you've got the good products. And Neil, again, people can still come in here over the next few weeks, get in, start initial appointment, and while it may be first few weeks of December or January before we can get things rolling, hey, it's never too early to start that conversation.
Yeah, that's right. And a good time to visualize what that space is going to be like and what it's going to feel like is when you got people in there and you're moving around it. Say, they told me to think about this. Well, yeah, that might work.
Right.
You know, so yeah, it's a good time to start.
Yeah, good deal. Well, thank you guys so much. And man, we appreciate all you guys are doing for us and our listeners here at KLZ. And look forward to having you out at the house. And it's going to be fun.
It is.
Yeah, we're going to look forward to that. Yeah. All right. Again, it's Enchanted Kitchens. Get by their Experience Center. Once again, it is located at 3535 South Platte River Drive. And, Neil, what are your hours real quick?
9 to 5 Monday through Friday, or outside those by appointments.
All right. So they'll help you out there, too, if you need an appointment. 720-376-7588. 720-376-7588, or you can check them out at enchantedkitchens.net. And Neil, thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Scott.
And Kami, thank you as well.
Thank you.
All right. We got to take a short break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Hi, Jack Corrigan for Len Lyle Chevrolet. Len Lyle Chevrolet is open and safe. It's truck month, and they have the best deals of the year on all trucks and SUVs, like up to $10,000 off on half-ton Silverados. Or come check out the all-new Tahoes and Suburbans for 2021. Len Lyle has been there for 35 years, and low overhead really does mean low prices. Check them out on the web, LenLyleChevy.com. Go east and pay the least. Chevy. Find new roads.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are. What are their feelings? I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishon of Householder Group. 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands how the jury thinks.
In the context of a personal injury case where you have been hurt by someone else's negligence, the idea with that is that you're then going to try to recover to get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. And what that really means from a juror's perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about what six people that don't know you, that hear evidence and have to make a unanimous decision, will decide as to what fair value is. And so you and I, when we get hurt, have definitely an idea of what we think it's worth to us. But the question is, what can you articulate to those other individuals who don't know you and are not involved in this process to get them persuaded about what it is that they think the case is worth?
Call now for a free consultation. 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Protect Your Legacy with Attorney Blake Harris, Mile High Estate Planning. Check out the website, milehighestateplanning.com. And folks, let me just tell you before I introduce Blake here, please go and read the reviews. I'm telling you, these are great reviews, and you can tell these families, each one kind of had their own story, and Blake was able to help them out. But I hope you'll go visit the website, milehighestateplanning.com. And with that, Blake Harris joins us today. Blake, good to have you on again, sir. How are you?
Scott, always so much fun to be on the radio with you. Thanks for having me back.
You bet. Well, Blake, I love, you know, each time you're on, we'll talk about different areas of this. And boy, it just makes me think, you know, with this whole estate planning, you know, man, there are a lot of things you have to look at. And that's why, you know, I think people are so glad to sit down with you, because number one, this is all you do, and so you focus on everything that each individual client needs. And then, boy, I think that's a win-win for the client.
Yes. This is the only thing we do, helping families plan for and manage the transfer of their assets. Don't give me a call if you're getting divorced or need your oil changed. I'm not going to be much help with either of those. But if you want to plan for your family's financial future, we don't do investments, but we do trust. And today we're going to be talking about a certain type of trust, which is special needs trust.
Okay. So let's kind of go through that. I was doing a little research, you know, before the show. And, you know, again, you make us think about a lot of different things we normally wouldn't think of. But even, you know, families with special needs and, you know, children, I mean, they've really got to take extra care in, you know, making out this estate plan, don't they?
Yes. So there's a lot of families with children who have disabilities, and lots of families with grandchildren who have autism or some other disability. And these are some of the most rewarding clients for my firm to assist with, because they are the ones who are in certain ways in the most need for setting up an estate plan. Having a special needs trust can make all of the difference in the world for a child or grandchild or client that is disabled. Without doing any planning, if you leave money to an individual who is receiving needs-based government benefits, that individual will likely have to spend down their entire inheritance down to right around just $2,000 before they are able to apply for and receive government benefits. By creating a trust for your children or grandchildren, you can make sure that they are able to receive the government benefits and continue to receive assets from that trust. So they're able to protect their inheritance and still receive the government benefits.
Right. And I assume all of this, too, then it's also protecting the child's, you know, eligibility, maybe for any benefits that they may have just from public benefits, right?
Exactly, exactly. So there's two types of special needs trust, also referred to as supplemental needs trust, which can be created. There are third-party trust and there are first-party trust. We'll go through the first-party trust first. With a first-party trust, this is the situation where you have assets and you want to apply for government benefits, or you're going to be receiving assets and you already have government benefits, such as a personal injury settlement or receiving an inheritance. In this situation, you can set up a trust for yourself. You can still get the government benefits, but with a first-party trust, you have to name the beneficiary after you pass away of that trust as the government. So the government has the right to come back and collect from your trust after you pass away any assets that any collect up to assets up to the amount that you've used government benefits for. It's still better that you have this type of trust and just spend through that trust all right away on healthcare related needs. But an even better type of trust which can be created is when somebody else creates a trust for you. And that's a third party special needs trust. The way a third party special needs trust works, as I mentioned, it sets up the assets in a separate pool. The assets are protected from not only government spend down, but also lawsuits, divorcing spouses. Your child or grandchild can use these assets for their benefit. And then after they pass away, there's no need to pay back the government anything. The next generation, the next alternate beneficiary, the next family member that you have selected will receive those assets.
Wow. Okay. Once again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Protect Your Legacy with Attorney Blake Harris from Mile High Estate Planning. Blake's number 720-924-6171. And again, his website is milehighestateplanning.com. So, Blake, I was looking at some things for what we'll call, I guess, just planning options. And these are options available to families in making an estate plan for a special needs child who may be receiving base needs public benefits like we were just talking about. And boy, there are several things there. And one of them on the top of this list, so I just want to get your opinion or tell me if you ever use this. One of the first things says disinherit the child.
So this was a common mechanism for planning the estate. And it sounds brutal that you would have a disabled child and then go and disinherit them. But this is usually done with the best of intention, that you'd leave money to the child that is not disabled and then instead and have the not disabled child manage money for the child who is disabled. The problem with setting it up under these circumstances is several. Number one, the not disabled child could get sued, could have a lawsuit, could get divorced and lose some of the assets that you intended for the disabled child. There's also the possibility that the not disabled child and the disabled child could become estranged, and the child who you left all the money to decides not to support the other individual, the disabled child, as you had hoped. So it's not a planning mechanism that I recommend. I would say maybe it's better than not doing anything at all and leaving directly to a child who will just have to spend it correctly. But the better way to do it is set up a trust. And I include special needs trust provisions in pretty much every trust that I create. So clients, they come to see me and they're concerned about probate. And they're wise to be concerned about probate. We've spent other episodes before just talking about how probate can take 1 to 2 years, it can cost thousands or in some cases tens of thousands of dollars. So yes, a revocable trust will avoid probate And that right there is a reason enough to get an estate plan. Even if you don't have a child with a disability, it's wise to include standby special needs provisions, because the question that I could ask clients is, do you have any disabled children or grandchildren yet? Because disability can start later in life. It can start as a child gets older. You could end up in a car accident.
Sure.
You could, at an older age, develop a mental disability as well. So having a standby special needs trust provision is something that I include in pretty much every estate plan that we create for clients. So, Scott, we've discussed planning for disability in terms of our children and grandchildren. I want to stir the conversation next to planning for the disability of our clients or disability of our clients' parents.
Okay.
And so there's a couple of things that we do to plan for our clients, our older clients who are who may become disabled and may need long-term or nursing home support. So there's two things that we do for clients as they get older and are starting to lose mobility and starting to need assistance. The first thing that we do is we have them create a complete set of incapacity documents. And I know I've gone through these before, but it's very important. I'm just going to run through them real quick.
Sure.
The four incapacity documents, which everyone age 18 or older should have. This includes your child who's going off to college in this fall, or it also includes anyone who's 18 or older. The first one is a financial power of attorney. In the event that you become incapacitated, you want to have the individual you've selected to be able to make financial decisions on your behalf. Financial power of attorney, it's a fairly easy document to draft up and sign. It does not take a lot of time. It does not require a great deal of money. And with the financial power of attorney, your family is able to avoid a court-supervised conservatorship in the event that you become incapacitated. A conservatorship will cost at minimum a few thousand dollars, and in some cases, tens of thousands of dollars, and can take several months or can even require reporting to go on for years or decades. All of this can be avoided by simply creating a financial power of attorney. If you don't have a financial power of attorney and a family member does become incapacitated, our firm can certainly help the conservatorship process. However, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of the cure, and this is certainly true when it comes to estate planning and incapacity planning. The next three documents that are needed to plan for incapacity are the medical power of attorney for making medical decisions in the event that an individual becomes incapacitated,
mm-hmm.
a HIPAA authorization. HIPAA is a federal law which protects the privacy of our client's health care, and that protects the privacy of everyone's health care. In the event that you become incapacitated, you want your agents to be able to access that health care, protected health care information, and share it with the doctors so that the doctors can make informed medical decisions. And the final document that everyone should have to plan for their incapacity is a living will. A living will says that if you're in a permanent vegetative state, that you do want to have life support removed.
Gotcha. Now, when you talk about these the powers of attorney, do you recommend that someone pick two individuals, one for maybe financial and one for medical, or a lot of times is that the same person?
So I'm going to answer this from a slightly different angle, and then I'll get your question in just half a minute. So I do recommend that you pick one individual for your financial power of attorney and one individual for your medical power of attorney. Mom will come in and say that she has two children. She loves them both equally, and she wants them both to serve as her medical power of attorney. And you do that, you're encouraging gridlock among your children. You're encouraging a lockup. So what you can do instead is pick one child as the primary and then the other child as the contingent. In terms of who you pick, you can pick the same individual for your financial and medical power of attorney, or you can pick different individuals. I had a client come in whose one child was a nurse, the other was a CPA, and picked the CPA as a financial power of attorney and the nurse as a medical power of attorney. So you can pick different individuals for these roles. You can pick the same individuals for these roles. Generally, I'd recommend the one who you use for your financial power of attorney also be the one you name as the executor of your will, the trustee of your trust. Keep the money all in the same hands, but the decision of medical decisions can be a different one. When it comes to planning for our seniors as they get older, the thing that we need to keep in mind is qualifying for government benefits. As we've discussed before, the cost for assisted living, to move into an assisted living facility or to move into a long-term nursing home, runs close to $5,000 to $10,000 per month.
Wow.
By setting up another type of, similar to a special needs trust, a Medicaid asset protection trust, clients are able to move into the nursing home, and after they pass away, instead of the state coming back and recovering the family home, that home can pass down to the children or grandchildren. That Medicaid Asset Protection Trust can also include standby special needs trust provisions for the children and the grandchildren, so that if any other family members receiving needs-based government benefits, they don't lose their inheritance because of the protective nature of the trust that the parents set up.
Okay.
Another tool, in addition to the Medicaid Asset Protection Trust, which is really the golden goose for many families. I've spoken before how my own grandma failed to set one up and blew through $200,000 in just a couple of years in the nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
A woman who hardly ever spent any money whatsoever, blew through hundreds of thousands of dollars very, very quickly, could have been prevented by setting up a Medicaid Asset Protection Trust. Another golden ticket that we can help our clients set up is a caregiver contract. Most seniors receive some care from their children. Their children will help them, take them to doctor's appointments, help them with their daily living, will help make sure that their finances are properly managed. And then the parents have a chunk of money, and the nursing home requires the parents to spend through that money before they can get government benefits. By signing a caregiver contract in advance, you cannot do this after the fact. You cannot say, I've been taking care of mom for 10 years. We never signed a contract, but I want her to pay me for all this work.
Right.
That's not going to hold up. That's going to get you kicked out of Medicaid if you try to do that.
Okay.
But by signing one in advance, if you have a parent who's aging, and I guess all of our parents are aging, but if you have a parent over the age of 60, over the age of 70, then I would recommend give me a call and we can set up a contract that will allow your parents to pay you for their services. If your parents can't make all the payments right away each month, then it's not too big of a deal. Most children are not going to collect on their parents and force their parents into bankruptcy over some caregiver contract. But if the parents have the money to pay that contract, then there's a lot of money that can be stashed away and kept in the family, as opposed to passing into the hands of a nursing home facility. So to recap, if you have a senior in your life, there are three things that they should do. Number one, for sure, set up your incapacity documents. Number two, probably set up a caregiver contract. Number three, set up a Medicaid Asset Protection Trust. The combination of these three can save families hundreds of thousands of dollars, preserve family homes. I have seen this work before, and I've also seen when families didn't do the planning, not just in my own family, but in other families and clients who we handle the probate work for. Clients say, oh, we're going to get the house now that dad's passed away. Oh, by the way, dad spent 18 months in a nursing home before he passed away.
Right.
And we have to deliver some unfortunate news to the client that the home is only going to pass to the hands of the state and that the children end up receiving nothing. There are ways to avoid this in a few hours of estate planning.
Wow.
In many circumstances, a few hours of estate planning can do more to protect a family's wealth than decades of working.
Blake Harris is our guest. Mile High Estate Planning is the company. MileHighEstatePlanning.com. And Blake's number, 720-924-6171. It's a free consultation with Blake, and I hope you'll give him a call. And, of course, all that we've been going through these few months, Blake has it set up for you. Of course, you can do it online with Zoom, or if you're comfortable coming into his office. I was just there the other day. Beautiful office, very convenient parking, and you don't hear this much, but free parking downtown, and you can stop in and see Blake in person as well. So, Blake, when, you know, recently I had my knee replaced, and I remember the hospital checking you in, of course. Hey, do you have any kind of, I believe the term they use, advanced health care directive? Is that the same terminology as when we talk about, you know, medical power of attorney?
Sure. So there are three terms I'm going to repeat, and they all mean the same exact thing.
Okay.
A living will. So a living will is your will for how you're treated while you're alive. Living will. Number two, a declaration as to medical or surgical treatment. This is the Colorado term for a living will. And the third is an advanced health care directive. The terms are used interchangeably. The technical term, declaration as a medical or surgical treatment, is actually the name of the document that the clients sign when they're in our office. But other than when the clients are just about to sign the document, I don't use that term because hardly anybody recognizes that term.
Okay.
Living will is kind of the layman's term. It gets confusing with what's the difference between a living will and a regular will, or what's the difference between a living will and a living trust. So I shy away from using that word, although it is widely used. I like the best advanced healthcare directive, because in advance of having healthcare treatment selected, you can give the direction. So with an advanced healthcare directive, you can select your care. Advanced healthcare directive, living will, and declaration as a medical surgical treatment, all the same thing. These are different documents than a medical power of attorney. Now the question happens, well, what if my living will and my medical power of attorney contradict? My living will says remove life support after 7 days, but my power of attorney wants me to stay on life support for a few weeks. You need to make sure that your documents are properly drafted. And the way that I advise clients to set it up, I leave it to the decision of the clients. If clients want to have the advanced healthcare directive governed, that's fine. But generally what I say is leave it to your medical agent to decide. The standard time to be kept on life support is 7 days. Clients can shorten this, clients can lengthen this, but the standard time is 7 days.
Okay.
I tell clients they should sign a healthcare directive saying that they want life support removed after 7 days or whatever period of time that they suggest, but give your medical agent the power to override that decision. The reason why is in the event that there's a terrible snowstorm, firestorm, drought, COVID quarantine going on in Colorado, and family members are not able to get to the hospital and give their final goodbyes after 7 days, we want to give the medical agent the ability to extend that. On the flip side, if there's no hope of recovery after 48, 72 hours, there's no need to extend somebody being on life support any longer than absolutely necessary.
Sure.
So I recommend having both advanced healthcare directive and a medical power of attorney. And I recommend giving the medical power of attorney the ability to override the advanced healthcare directive.
Okay. Now, let's say someone becomes disabled and maybe they're in a business partnership or a shareholder in a business. How do you kind of work through that financial deal of, like, you know, how long, you know, would that disabled owner's salary continue or insurance coverage continue, different things like that?
Sure. So back to my saying an ounce of prevention.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into a business, it is so important and valuable to have well-drafted documents that plan for the possibility or the inevitable that one of the business partners is going to die, become incapacitated, or no longer want to be actively involved in the business. What happens is two partners will work together to start a business. They'll agree that we're going to just split this business 50-50. The problem comes a few years down the road when one of the partners says, I want to continue to still be an owner of this business, but I no longer want to be active in the business, or they become incapacitated or pass away and they're no longer able to be active in the business. The partner working may claim, well, I should get to keep all the business because I'm the one doing all the work now. The partner who's become disabled and no longer able to work, or no longer interested in working, is going to say, no, I should get to keep 50% of the business because I'm a 50% owner. When you start the business, you need to outline, you should outline what your salary is going to be as an employee of the business. That way, if you become incapacitated or drop out of the business, pass away, the replacement person who's going to come in and do the work for you is able to receive a salary, and the business can continue to operate, and you can step back and still receive money from the business, or your estate can receive money from the business, but merely as an owner of the business. So when planning your business, it's important that you have a buy-sell agreement that includes provisions for disability, incapacity, death, and merely just disassociation, no longer want to actively be involved in the business. That's a great question, Scott.
Good deal. Again, Blake Harris is our guest, Mile High Estate Planning. Check out the website. And if you're just getting in the car or turning on the radio, I mentioned at this at the beginning of the show, go to milehighestateplanning.com, read Blake's reviews that his clients have given him. And as most of us know, you know what? If you're happy with a business, rarely do you say anything. Most time we just put something up if we're unhappy. So it is unusual for all of these clients to go on and just talk about their experience with Mile High Estate Planning and Blake Harris and how Blake helped them out. So hope that you'll give Blake a call, 720-924-6171. And Blake, I guess it's always, you know, hey, this disability we're talking about now can strike at any time. You talk about just with the weather changing and, you know, someone slip on the ice and hit their head or sudden illness. I mean, it can turn that productive person into a dependent one almost instantly, can it?
Sure. And I get asked the question, how old do I need to be to create an estate plan, or when should I create an estate plan? And the honest answer is, put it off until the day before you die. Actually, put it off until the moment before you become incapacitated. If you know when that is, by all means, save the time, save the money, and put it off until right before you become incapacitated, until right before you get into a car accident. If you don't know when that's going to be, then take care of it right now. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that you've done all you can to plan for yourself, to plan for your family's financial future. And then forget about it. Go on, live your life, stay safe, stay healthy, and don't worry about it anymore. But the peace of mind that you get, that your family gets, is really something that is very invaluable, something that you can't replace. So, Scott, it's been a pleasure being on the show. This I consider to be in general, I find my business, my practice to be a very rewarding career, getting to help so many families, especially those who have children or grandchildren that may face some disability, or those who have seniors that may be moving into a nursing home, helping to protect families' assets, keeping the money in the family, not the hands of the government, giving our clients more freedom to go to the places, travel the places they want to be, take more time off work, spend more time with the people they care about and love.
Absolutely. So, folks, hear this. Estate planning is not just about death and taxes we hear about. It's also about preserving what you have earned and taking care of your family. I want to thank you for joining us for Protect Your Legacy today with Blake Harris. Again, it's Mile High Estate Planning, 720-924-6171. So, Blake, as always, thank you for your time, sir, and we'll look forward to our next visit.
Scott, thanks so much for having me on the show. Look forward to the next show as well. Talk to you soon.
All right, sir. Check out milehighestateplanning.com. Folks, call today. Don't put it off any longer. 720-924-6171. I want to thank all of our guests today, but mostly thank you for joining us today for the show. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.